Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dale and Keefe.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
Middays 10 to 2.
Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston. A Radio.com sports station.
The Greg Hill Morning Show broadcast live from the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI studios.
Merchant ships, minutes after they took I from the bottomless pits.
Would this be a good time to have Scott from Weymouth on the show or not?
Oh, I don't know. That's tough. That is a tough one.
I mean, he's been on hold.
All right, well,
tonight,
I don't want to hear him complain that you don't take his call.
Greg, so. Tonight, if there's more unrest and disobedience in the streets, just give Scott a bullhorn and get him to start talking. Everyone will disperse.
Everybody will disperse.
40 seconds, everyone. All right, here we go. Boom. In and out. 40 seconds. Here we go. Three things, everyone. The protesters, get off the streets.
That's what we should have done in Downtown Crossing is had Nick go out there and do one of his leads.
What do you get to faster, Scott's 40 seconds or Danielle turning on me?
I mean, she was loyal to you, and then now she's turned
That's
on
it.
You.
She's turned.
She's turned.
Good. That's right.
Nick just gets a mic, and he starts some long soliloquy about Brady. People just start running away.
Everybody disperses immediately.
Or you could just put Ken there, period.
Hello, Scott.
Good morning. What's up?
What's going on, Scott?
What's going on, huh? Are you kidding me? I mean, I can't even believe what's going on. All right, couple of quick points. In and out in 40 seconds.
Okay. Boom.
The violent protests are wrong. But a caller on a different show made a good point. You know what he said? He said, well, peaceful protests haven't been working since 92 or whatever with Rodney King. I don't know what's going on in this country anymore. Next point. We're down to 30 seconds. Let's all remember, this was just one cop. All right? Most are excellent, excellent public servants. You know, they're all out there doing a great, fantastic job protecting us from wrongdoings, okay? Greg, a quick prediction, though. Ready for this prediction? You're going to hear it here first. Those charges are going to be upgraded to second-degree murder. They just had to charge him with something because of the civil unrest. But, nah, that's second degree.
No.
It's not first degree.
He should have been, listen, we were talking about this Friday, Thursday. He should have been arrested right away.
Agreed.
If somebody had done what he did to a police officer, they would have been arrested right away. He should have been arrested right away.
What's interesting too, Greg? What's interesting are the other three cops. They haven't been charged yet. I don't know what those charges could be. I don't know. I could argue both sides. I mean, is it their job to intervene? I don't know. There's a line of
leadership. There was one of them tried to and was rebuffed.
I wish I was there. I would have punched that cop right in the face into 30 days and dead him. That was murder, man. That's murder. No, it's wrong.
Yes.
I'm pissed off.
100%,
Scott. I'm pissed off.
Wait, that's...
I almost want to move... I want to move to Minneapolis.
Okay,
commit a petty crime, so they put me in county for 30 days just so I could punch him in the mouth.
Scott, I still, like that take.
That was murder.
Yes. Would you still call every Boston radio show from Minneapolis, though? That's the question.
Well, you know, it's funny. I miss hockey not being around because I used to call Edmonton and Nashville radio. not Nashville. Edmonton post-game show. And what the heck was the other? St. Louis. So I miss them doing that. I get their numbers on hold. In closing,
thank you, Scott. That was the closing, but boom. I did my closing part of the
You know what's
there.
100% not funny? The thing that Scott says after, you know what's funny?
Yeah, I'll be the judge of that.
Now, the one thing that he did bring up that I feel like could be a salient point of discussion was, what would the other cops do? Now, you've watched the alternate angle of the video that came out over the weekend?
Yes.
So there was the primary one that was right there in front with the cop almost looking at the camera. Then the one from across the street shows the other two cops kneeling on the rest of George Floyd's body. Sorry, Chauvin was on the neck. You guys are on the rest of the body. I'll take secondary orange whip. Yeah, that's 3 second-degree murder charges for all of you guys. And the other guy... the one there, basically like the kid from Saving Private Ryan who's watching his friend be executed and says nothing and does nothing, he's the biggest coward of all of them.
Hmm. Do you think that if they had been arrested, immediately charged with murder, that things would have gone differently?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
Yes. And another thing that could have totally changed the outcome of this is if Trump had any effing clue, got off Twitter and invited the Floyd family to the White House or flew out there, whichever, and met with them to show some form of empathy for what they had endured. That would have, I think, changed a lot of what occurred over the weekend.
This is Will from Rhode Island. What's up, Will?
Hey, so I'm gonna try to be quick here. So I applied for a police academy a while back. I'm 26. I'm a white guy. All right. I went through all of that. I've worked in security for most of my career, and I've been mentored by state police and all this. And I just have to say, man, the way that cops are being trained is, it's like a freaking gladiator school. Like, there's no focus on trying to, like, recruit kind people who actually care, like, who care about equality, that care about people. There's just none. Like, there was, I forget the guy's last name, but an officer named Steven. I don't know if you heard about this story, that he was fired for not shooting, like, because they were saying he put his fellow officers in danger. Like, he was fired for not killing this guy for no reason. Like, the emphasis placed on just having the gall to kill and being prepared for it is way more than any emphasis placed on just being kind. And these places that are recruiting aren't making any effort to do that.
Listen,
and if it's like any other job, they're treating these people like they're, you know, like when you're working at AutoZone and your inventory's out of stock, like, or something's messed up, like the people are the enemy, the thing that frustrates you.
Will,
and it desensitizes them,
but it's
and they just don't care.
Will, it's a thankless job. I mean, you get that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, I know, I completely get it, but I mean, like, if the training, if you need to add something to like make these officers keep thinking about these people as people and not enemies and not just a trifle of the job and thinking about them as items or just some problem to get over. Like the way that man was treated wasn't human at all. That guy's cold-blooded killer. Like I don't have money to give to a fundraiser. I all I can do is give my time. I plan to go to a protest. That's all I can do. People tell me, you know, don't try to pretend to understand what it's like to be black in America, and I'm not going to. I'm just going to do whatever I can do, like I've always tried to do, and hopefully we can make a change. But it starts with training these officers to be kind and not monsters and gladiators and putting emphasis on just being able to or wanting to or being capable of killing someone.
This is a bad comparison, Hillman, but on a day of bad comparisons, I'll do it anyway. You know how the NHL has like a Department of Player Safety where if there's an incident on the ice, they go to some board and they review the guy's history? Shouldn't there be something like that for police officers? Every incident should go to some arbitrator in the state that is totally neutral from what's happened here, and we should see his prior record. And if it's egregious, this guy had, what, like 16 investigations 20. Or something? 20 investigations?
20. And two letters of condemnation or specifically whatever that is. Like, this guy was obviously a bit of a bad apple. He played a little rough outside the law, and that's
a
exactly
bad
what
apple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Drink.
No, he shouldn't have been a cop.
No. He should have been tossed a long time ago. And how about that story that he and George Floyd may or may not have worked for the same security company before?
Oh, I didn't see this.
Yeah, so George Floyd had done some private security work, and Chauvin mm-hmm. had been an off-duty cop hired for security detail. And somebody was trying to connect whether or not there had been any previous encounters between the two as well. Now, if somebody can ever stitch together that there was some sort of agenda or recognition in mind, now we may start bumping up the count and the charges on this guy.
I'm just stunned there's not a picture with Chauvin and Harvey Weinstein. It feels like there's someone with him in every walk of life.
There's one with him and Epstein.
Now, he knew George Floyd knew who killed Epstein.
Did you finish the Epstein documentary, by the way?
I did.
Talk about things that frustrate you. How was that for, I mean, so many people let him get away with all of that stuff forever.
Blackmail is very powerful.
I guess.
It is. That's, I mean, Danielle.
Did you watch the whole thing, Danielle?
No, I'm not done with it yet. No.
Oh.
But the blackmail thing, I mean, that's what they get started with that, you know, right in the beginning of episode one. And he just,
so you think he was filming like this, like he was filming everything, and he has a lot of people in powerful positions that are on film doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Is that what you think?
I think that's why Upstairs Joe is still here. He's got some crazy stuff on you, Greg.
But that's security, not in the sense of, you know, surveillance type security, but security for him, and that, hey, you know, you might have seen some of the things that I'm into or, you know, anything like that, but I got stuff on you, so you can't blab. He was very crafty with that.
I was going to say, doesn't that make him a little smarter than the average bear, that if he's protecting himself by getting all the goods on these people?
Because
just even saying his name now, it makes you want to throw up.
He's a master manipulator.
That's disgusting. How about those documents that Anonymous leaked over the weekend, like competing for the virginity of a 13?
It's gross.
Jesus.
So gross.
I didn't see that either.
How did you get there?
See the documents that Anonymous dug up from 2015 this weekend?
No.
Yeah. Well, they're back.
Well, so,
and after they published the email address and password of every Minneapolis cop, they dug up documents for the... It was a suit which Trump and Epstein were labeled together. Somebody, a girl who said that they were predators, came after her in 2015, I want to say. You know, because, you know, most presidents should obviously be named in suits where they were competing for the virginity of a 13-year-old. And describing Epstein beating out Trump, or as they were accused in this, of getting this girl, it's just, it makes your skin want to crawl off your bones.
Is this, I have not seen this anywhere.
Go look it up. Do you think it's
online? Yeah,
it's online.
I think Nick's also reporting that Jeffrey Epstein was the second guy in the SpaceX flight.
Nick
spends a lot of time in Reddit forums
at anonymous.org.
Are you not familiar with Anonymous? Because if you speak badly of them, Curtis, everything.
Yes.
Like, you trust me.
Anonymous are all the quotes that are in the Globe stories at Rip EEI.
Be careful when you say anything about Anonymous, because they'll find you and they'll release it.
This is Charlie. What's up, Charlie?
Yeah, Greg, good morning. I was just calling to see, this cop had 18 charges against him. I'd like to know how many cops in Minnesota or other cities still have 18 charges against them that are still police officers. Why are they out there working if they have so many complaints against them?
I don't know. I don't know. They should not be.
I'll tell you who got a bad look for that too. Charlie, Greg, etc. Somebody who was considering or was rather going to possibly be vetted for a vice presidential consideration, Amy Klobuchar. See ya.
Yeah.
Because she was found out to have been lenient in pressing charges and prosecuting police officers in her time as an attorney in the state of Minnesota. So.
Is there any information as to whether Anonymous knows what happened with Malcolm Butler?
Yes, but they can't publish those documents.
Oh, asking for a radio show producer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they could get that information out there today?
Honestly, all this Minneapolis talk brought it back, man. I was thinking about Malcolm Butler.
And that's where it took place!
In Kaepernick.
I knew it!
We're back to 2017.
All right, let's get to Ken and what is trending.
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, Hillman says optimism in baseball negotiations. I guess you could frame it that way. The players' union delivered their counterproposal last night, 114 games. Deferred salaries. Here's Jeff Passan on ESPN talking about those deferred salaries and what the give might mean.
Owners have talked about having cash flow issues, and one way to alleviate cash flow issues is for players to defer money to the future. Now, they want these monies paid with interest, so it is deferrals with sort of a twist on it. But that being said, it opens the door potentially for more deferrals in an MLB proposal back to the Players Association.
That's only if the playoffs are canceled and the players want their full prorated salaries as of now if they get back on the field. So it'll be another week of hashing back and forth. But some give, as you pointed out earlier, Greg.
Well, but if they want to get going on June 30th, they got to move this along, Ken.
That ain't happening. Mm-hmm.
No?
No chance of that. Several Celtics players involved in the George Floyd protests across America over the weekend. Jaylen Brown in Atlanta, and here locally, Marcus Smart, Vincent Poirier, and Enes Kanter, who spoke at the Common. NBA targeting a July 31st return at the Disney Wide World of Sports Complex. They've got plans for 16 teams, 20 teams, 22 teams, 30 teams. Final vote Thursday on that front. We have Peter King with a brand new NFL power rankings out this morning. Fitzy, you're not going to like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Cover your ears here. Patriots 21st in the power rankings. Mm. 21. Mm. Third in the division behind the Bills and the Dolphins.
Ugh. Oh, he just put the Dolphins up there because he's proud of Brian Flores. Come on. 21? That's the number Malcolm Butler wore.
Yep.
Yes.
There's been so... who was it? Somebody put out over the weekend... Oh, it was Chris Sims who said on Pro Football Talk, Patriots have the 35th best quarterback room. Jared Stidham was the 35th best quarterback, which proves to you that the hair he had across his ass for years wasn't about Brady. It's about the organization because he feels Belichick did him wrong.
Yes, but they got a positive review on the running back room.
The best running back room. Who said that? Mike Tannenbaum. Oh, that's right. The former NFL GM who agreed with my assessment that the Patriots will have a better roster in 2020.
Which is amazing. Fitzy ripped Mike Tannenbaum for 10 years on Instagram. Now he loves Mike Tannenbaum because he said something he agrees with.
I've only been on Instagram for 4, you absolute
whatever.
Celery
social
stalk.
Media, honk tweets. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler said late last week it is believed Cam Newton did speak with the Patriots early in free agency, but nothing materialized there. NHL still looking to get back to work, and Evander Kane told ESPN last week he thinks more prominent athletes need to speak up in the sports world. He took a little shot at Tom Brady in that front. Sidney Crosby in the NHL as well.
And one quick note on Fitzy's weekend on Twitter. He and Hardy agree you have to toast the buns on the grill.
That's
right. What we'll do is we'll pay attention specifically to Fitzy's Twitter feed, but if anyone else here at the station happens to, on social media or anywhere else, involve themselves with people from Brand X or anywhere else, we'll let that slide. But if Fitzy does it, shame, shame.
Nobody
quick, throw
does.
A brick the through only, the front of Fitzy.
You're the only one that talks to Brand X. It's weird.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Who else?
No, I'm not.
Who else?
Other people do.
Like
other
who?
People. Literally,
example.
Vet Andy Hart.
Oh, okay.
Is he really here?
Oh.
That's your example.
Danielle? Is he an employee of WEEI?
Yes.
Intercom Boston?
Yes.
Okay.
So who are you communicating with? I mean, I guess what these guys are saying is that's the enemy. I replied to
something that Matt Chatham tweeted out that in a conversation he had with someone else who worked for Brand X, who I also happened to run by and work with at the New England Patriots, and apparently now I am the scourge of Intercom
Here's
Boston.
Here's the exact tweet.
A lot of air quotes going on.
Here's the exact tweet. Hey, Hardy, I love Touch and Rich. Wish I could listen more. Please toast the buns.
Mm-hmm.
That is the actual tweet.
What was the toasting buns debate about?
Matt Chatham's a big food guy, and he does
Matt
a lot of,
Chatham is a piece of work. So God save toolbox.
What is the issue over the
hold
buns?
On one second. At Anonymous.
Are you talking Chris Curtis. Dogs? Like, what,
yes, he was talking about something about potato buns and burgers or something, and I was cooking that day, so I decided to, God forbid, get involved
but you
in
should
a
grill them. Not toast them. Don't you grill them?
A potato bun?
I think that's what he meant.
Yeah.
No?
The potato bun, if you're going to use a potato bun in the first place, you don't grill it, you don't toast it. Enjoy the pillowy softness of a good potato bun in
you
the first place.
You could get a little crisp on a potato bun.
You
got to
be careful. You don't want a soppy potato bun, Danielle. The whole afternoon is ruined.
God. Nothing worse than a wet bun, I agree.
By the way, I had, and this is a bold statement because I've had 1,000. I had the best lobster roll I've ever had in my life this weekend.
That is a bold.
Better than Eventide?
I had a good one, too.
No. Yes, better than Eventide.
Wow. That's a bold statement from you.
There's a place on Newbury Street, or at least it was there prior to what happened last night.
Oh, Ludi's?
Called Lobster on a Roll.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
The hot butter, the hot butter mixture. It's not just butter.
Uh huh. So they opened up an outlet in Dennisport for a summer.
Yes. Oh, they did.
Yes.
It's about the roll.
It's the brioche.
Whatever kind of roll.
It's a brioche bun that they use.
Yeah,
it's
Nick went on Felger's recommendation.
Mm-hmm. That's why Felger. I drove my Tony Maserati down there.
Hey,
stub.
No, but am I right about that place?
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh my God.
It's the best ever.
Yeah.
And we did the contest on the old show.
Oh, no,
I thought,
incredible.
You know, I mean, it's
they have a spot in Salem, too, I think.
Do they?
Yeah, they have a spot up here in Salem up by me.
They opened
amazing.
A pop-up for one summer on the Cape, went there every week. It was incredible.
It's really good. All right, we got to take a break, but we'll be back with Quarantine 311.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Whatever, it's a peaceful protest, but definitely want to, being a celebrity, being an NBA player, don't exclude me from no conversation at all. First and foremost, I'm a black man, and I'm a member of this community, and I grew up on this soil, so I want to say that first and foremost, but it's a peaceful protest. We're walking, and that's it.
Brown with his thoughts on America 2020, June 1st, America 2020. Very interesting year so far. I know. What is the rest of it going to look like?
I don't want to know.
Wait till you see what 2020 has got in store for you, Greg.
This is like in December, like the third week in December, or like right after Christmas, the 27th, when people start posting all the, oh my God, I am so ready for 2021 because 2020 was terrible. Like, this is the year that like literally everyone can post that and it's legit.
We haven't even had 3 presidential debates between Trump and Biden yet, and we already think this year is a disaster.
It's not even summer, and this is the most obnoxious year on record. Who knew that the first horseman of the apocalypse would be a year?
This is Tom. Hey, Tom. Tom. Tom.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? What are you calling about?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was listening to you guys earlier talking about police tactics and whatever. A couple times over the weekend, there were different police officers on television talking about how this kneeling on the neck is a forbidden procedure. But let me just chip in my one little life experience. About 10 years ago, some kids stole a car, ran up my street, hit a tree, yada yada, tried to run away, and the cops caught him. It was like dead of winter. I go outside, and there's a cop kneeling on this kid's neck when I went outside. And I actually knew the guy, and I said, hey, that's to the cop. I said, hey, get off him. That's somebody's kid. And he just, his only response was, they're all somebody's kid. But I don't think it's that unusual to kneel on a neck to subdue, you know, somebody that's trying to get away. That's why I like chipping back.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I.
But for seven minutes, when the guy keeps telling you he can't breathe, like,
How is he going to get away when he's handcuffed on the ground?
Yeah,
come on.
I mean, it should be unusual. If it's not, then right. then it should be. But also, I think you know the problem with all of this is there's no absolutes either way. You know, there's no that I think. The majority of those who, whatever that number is, percentage-wise, there's a lot of law enforcement people who get into it because they want to help, and they're really good people, and they do a really good job of de-escalating things and of keeping everybody that's involved in something safe. And there's just like in any other thing, job-wise, group of people-wise, club. Whatever it is, there are bad people also that are a part of that, but there's no absolutes. You know, you can't just look at something and say this person, you know, is doing something wrong, and therefore whatever happens to that person should right. happen to that. No, it should not happen to that person. You know, it should not happen to that person. And in the case of this cop, as we talked about last week, the guy, they should lock him up and throw the key away forever, right?
Period. End of story.
I saw his wife filed for divorce already.
Oh, right away.
Yeah,
right away she filed.
Right away.
She was like, yeah, bye. I think by Friday.
Yeah.
It was already drafted, which was weird.
I mean, at times, though, it makes you wonder, like, you know, save for, you know, being third man in 3 days a week on the Greg Hill Show, is there a more thankless job in the world than being a cop at times? It's a damn near impossible job, especially in major American cities right now.
Yes. Hey, Kevin.
Yes, how are you?
What's up?
Oh, not too much. Just wanted to touch base on that caller that did call in earlier about police officers being trained as gladiators is just flat out wrong. I've been a police officer in my 19th year. I worked in a city for 7 years and then started working in a smaller town shortly after that, and I've been a police instructor since 2008, and not once since 2008 have we ever been training men and women to come into this profession to become a gladiator. In fact, Greg, you said it perfectly, where de-escalation is the number one tool that we actually try to preach, whether it's in defensive tactics or physical fitness or any other course of study that we're going through with the recruits. We often try to make sure that the officers going on the street have better verbal judo than anything else. It's just frustrating because obviously that kid has no idea what it takes to get through.
Well, but here's like, so what would you say, like this 508 texter says, it's mm-hmm. it's the training and how you are programmed. What would you say to that?
It's everybody's programmed before they even come in there. People are who they are. You know, in physical fitness and training, we're developing mental toughness and physical ability to be able to go through a situation, whether it's a physical confrontation between someone who is a suspect and being able to handle yourself. And defensive tactics is training to be able to obviously physically handle yourself. But we don't go to fights or problems looking to continue the fight. We go there looking to stop it or prevent it from even starting.
And when you saw that video, were you horrified?
I'm disgusted. I was absolutely disgusted.
Would you have done if you had been one of the other guys there?
I would have ripped him off by his collar and said, "What the hell do you think you're thinking?"
Yeah. Why do you think those other guys didn't?
I don't know. Maybe they were intimidated by him. Maybe he's clearly a strong arm bully. So if he does that to a citizen, he's probably bullying around his coworkers too. Yeah. And it left them at a loss. But all of the guys that I work with, guys and girls that I work with, we're just appalled by it. I mean, anybody who acts like that or who believes that was correct should turn in their badge now.
In your 19 years, mm-hmm. Have you worked with, like, what we would call bad cops?
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bad person in every profession. I mean, whether it's in the medical field, the finance field. I mean, law enforcement, firefighters. Yes, people make bad choices and people don't do what everybody expects them to do. But it's difficult in a profession like this that the expectation is that much higher. So you have to continuously rise to the expectation of doing the right thing. You know, it's we always talk to our recruits about integrity, and it's doing the right thing even when no one is looking, because that's just the way that it should be done. I try to teach my boys that. I mean, this is just it's a problem that just continues to happen through this country, and you know, it's awful what happened to Mr. Floyd, just extremely awful. And those that have been victimized like that before, there's no need for that. I was trying to talk to my son while we were watching it last night, and the difference between the peaceful protest that started and that's America, that's what it was founded for, and then to see it switch all of a sudden just after 9 o'clock. You know, he was horrified. I was horrified because I knew guys that were standing on that line right there. And it's hard because a lot of those protesters that came out there were trying to send their message, and they were actually doing a pretty good job until you had it taken over by another group. And I'm sure a majority of those protesters there did not want it going that way, but it did.
Yeah.
And it put fire, police, and EMS in jeopardy of their health and wellness just to try to protect the protesters that are there. And
well, Kevin, thank you for calling.
I wonder, you know, Greg, have you seen some of the, obviously a lot of the negative stuff goes viral immediately and everyone wants to condemn it, but have you seen some of the footage that's come out of certain police officers kneeling, some of them just like grabbing protesters who were in tears and offering them hugs, and like the guy in Flint.
I saw that story of the sheriff who, that was awesome.
It was awesome.
Where he basically put down his gear and like led the walk with everybody. Yeah. Is that, right. Yeah, that was awesome.
In a place that deserves to be full of unrest, like Flint, Michigan, where you can't even get a damn glass of drinking water.
No, I thought that was great. Hello, B.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, just, no one's ever brought up this discussion about some of these police departments around the United States, some of these white supremacists that infiltrated the police department. This isn't the problem. The FBI put out a report years back about this. And you're seeing some of these issues happening now on live television. So this cop that kills this guy, you see him choking him comfortably on live television. And this is crazy. And I understand why people are not up there. People are tired. We're tired.
What percentage of, do you believe, of law enforcement?
I'm not saying all law enforcement.
I'm curious. I want to hear it. Like, what percentage has been infiltrated by white supremacists? Would you?
There's a few bad apples in these police departments around the United States, mm-hmm. and you're seeing what's happening. All right. Now, and there's another thing too. We have a lot of police in these communities that are not from the community. Police in these communities, they have nothing to do. So, you know, you have a cop that polices, you know, a cop that lives out somewhere out in Dover that's doing policing in Boston. Just to give you an example. They know nothing about the community. They don't know how to interact with the people in the community.
So I'm going to ask you the same question that Danielle asked Mike, because I want to know, where's a place to start? What can we do sitting right here, now?
I don't call the radio stations for you guys to do anything.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what's happening. I'm just being real as a black man.
Yeah.
I don't call WEI to solve these problems. It's a radio station.
But what about people? Right? But what about people who are listening? Like what?
Listen, there's like I said, there's people out here that do not like other people because of their color of the skin. Period. It's not going to change. All right. I'm not going to sit there and try to convince you or someone else because of the color of my skin. All right. Racism is a taught behavior. It starts with the upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's where it starts at. So all these people in Boston, stuff like that, old school, stuff like that. Listen, you've been taught a certain way. Just stop being ignorant out here. All right, because you color your skin. You need to wake up. People are tired.
We had to dump. We had to. Did you dump out of that? Yeah, we had to dump. We had to dump out of the S bomb B. But yes,
yeah.
This S has got to change. Is what you're. That's what you wanted to say. All right. Thank you. 617-779-7937 is the number, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. Hello, Bill.
Yeah. Good morning.
What's up?
Like everyone else, I want to chime in. The biggest issue that I have, being a black man, is equal justice under the law. If someone does something, there are years and years and years, a lot of black folks have been killed. And the cops would say, oh, they had a throwaway gun, I was fearful of my life, da-da-da. But now, in this age of social media, we can see that they're showing videos of these actions. And now, nationwide, the country is saying that somebody's lying, okay? So now they're lying about how they actually killed this person. And then they get on administrative leave, and 2 years later, they're working on another police force doing the same exact bad behavior. That is a major problem. And part of that problem is, as in the Eric Garner situation in New York, a jury of his peers, presumably white Americans, said that there was nothing wrong with the way he choked that man to death. That is the problem. When good people say nothing about bad things, that is the problem. So everyone can't be a police. You know, everybody can't be a surgeon. Okay, they weed them out. You know, you go to med school and you stop at a certain level. Everybody should not have a gun. Everybody should not have a nightstick. And then when you have bad police and you have a review board that roots out guys that have discipline problems and neo-Nazi tendencies in our philosophies, you weed them out. Let them find another job. That's what we need to do. You know, talk about solutions. That's the solution. We have civilian review boards. And every single solitary police officer or person with a gun in this country needs to be reviewed to determine that they have the mental capacity to handle that responsibility.
And you can't be judged. Bill, what is your perception of percentage-wise of racist cops? Like, what percentage do you believe?
I don't work in that industry, so I can't really tell you the percentage. Okay, I know that my son is an African American, and he's on the police force. Okay, and so you know his attitude is one way, and some of the friends that he has at his house, cookouts and things like that, they're good men. Okay, but I don't know everybody on that force, so I can't tell you percentage wise.
All right, Bill. Thank you.
All right, my pleasure.
All right.
Thanks, Bill.
Wow, look at us having an open dialogue this morning.
Well, a texter said what you can do, because you keep asking what you can do, is just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Callers, just listen. Don't interrupt. Don't say anything.
Shh.
Just
quiet.
Listen. Quiet.
Listen. Shut up and listen.
Hi.
Quiet. Listen. Hi.
Don't say hi in the middle of it, Curtis.
Brian
listen.
Hoyer.
Hi.
Brian Hoyer.
Quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Look.
What phase is this?
Curtis impersonating himself is hilarious.
Yeah, what phase are we in? Are we still in phase one?
I'm trying to figure
that out. Hello, Fallon.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, Fallon?
Not so much. What about you? How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Good. Good morning.
Good morning to you, too. I just wanted to talk about the whole George Floyd situation and, like, what happened last night in Boston. I honestly, like, I thought it was crazy because, like, we're already seeing all this happen in Minneapolis and starting to happen in Louisiana and also with L.A. And I was watching it all live on my TV last night, and it was one of the most horrific things I've probably seen. Like, I'm a sophomore in high school. I have friends that are African-American and have been, like, shown to this type of stuff, and I have friends that are also, like, their fathers are also police cops, like police cops, police officers. Like, it's crazy. And I'm seeing like all my peers and all these people I follow all over social media posting about the same post over and over again. And it just doesn't, it's not doing anything. It pains me, and it just makes my stomach turn over what's happening. Like, this is not how we as a whole are supposed to be. We're destroying cop cars. We're destroying buildings. Like, this is not what we should be doing in this situation. We should be uniting instead of separating and ending up killing more and more people. Because of last night, people are saying that there was 40 arrests and 7 police officers were injured. Either, like, on both sides, it's not okay. Like, I understand what this one police officer did was wrong, but you also have to think about all the other police officers that are out there. Not every single officer is going to hurt an innocent black man. Mm-hmm. Yes, like, I've also heard that this police officer specifically, he has been, like, I forget, like, what it was. It was, like, talking about how he has, like, seen that people have seen that he is a racist, actually. Mm-hmm. And, like, this is why, like, police officers, like, with the police stations, you need to do more background checks
okay.
on these people's past.
All right, Fallon, thank you. Texter says, all for Fallon at night, 6 to 10.
Oh.
Yeah, how about that Fallon on the next extra sauce?
Fallon and Fallon?
There we go, Fallon and Fallon.
Two Fallons.
Brought sponsored
two
by
Joes,
Fallon.
Two Joes, two Fallons. Wow, there's a crossover hit for you. The two Joes and the two Fallons.
Upstairs, Joe said he wanted to march in one of the protests, but it's too long.
Nick.
Wow! Jesus. I don't even hear to defend himself.
Oh, Lord. Come on. He all wants right. to be brought into the mix. You kidding me? The guy, man, have you seen the calves and the forearms on that guy? I wouldn't
get
last
that
one
shovel
round
out,
with
Nick.
Him.
Shovel, shovel, shovel.
I listen,
that's
Kurt.
This is what I miss about not being in studio, is having upstairs Joe pop in with a coffee in hand at like 9:37 and being like, oh, you think you're funny, huh, Fitzy?
Well, when are you coming back?
I don't know.
I mean,
talk to downstairs Joe about you, that. This is not out, under my control.
You've been out for months.
I know. It's glorious.
Oh, you didn't hear about Danielle?
No.
Oh, passed away in an accident months ago.
Oh,
this,
really?
This is a ghost. Oh.
This is AI. This is I,
think,
Danielle.
What about companies that are saying people don't have to come back
ever
to work?
I think we're going to see an interesting change in the face of commercial real estate, because there are so many companies that have, like, I've talked to a lot of people that I know who traditionally commute to offices, whether in Boston or in Woburn or Worcester, Framingham, wherever. And they're saying that a lot of them are getting that option where the companies previously didn't think that telecommuting was going to be successful. But over the last few months, it's shown to have, you know, productivity has continued. I'm sure that's going to fall off at some point. But that they're doing so well that many places are considering giving up their brick and mortar offices and just going to a work from home strategy.
But do you think they'll stick with that, or do you think they'll get sick of it after a while?
I don't think things are going to go back to normal. I think if companies
new
can
normal,
save
Curtis.
Money, they
drink. New normal drink. Yes, what?
If they can save money,
yeah.
by you not being in the office, and they see a relative similar amount of production, they're not going to bring you back.
Correct.
They'll downsize.
Yes.
The so new normal.
Your 50,000 square foot office, now you'll only need like a 20,000 or a 10,000 mm-hmm. square foot, and you'll probably have day, like if you're an investor, manage a portfolio, maybe you'll only come in 1 or 2 days a week, check in, have a meeting just so you can see people and connect. But otherwise, why can't you do everything from the bedroom, the basement, the she shed, wherever?
Well, because you might want to interact with other human beings at
nope,
some point
pass.
For collaboration.
Pass. Hard pass.
Hard pass.
I can collaborate with you via text.
No,
I don't even need to talk
no,
to you on the phone.
No, it's not the same.
Don't Zoom me with no video.
We're losing the entire human collaboration element of a workplace.
I know. What if we want to riot against downstairs Joe? We can't.
Right?
Because what? We need to all come together in the think tank?
This is how you know Greg never went to college.
Yeah. Danielle, hold on a second.
He never had to do the group project.
I'll be right back. I'm going to take the company scooter down the hall so I can help myself to the peanut-free M&Ms.
You had a group project in Rhode Island. How about that yacht with all those people on it? What the hell was that?
What do you mean?
Were there 15 people in the front of the boat?
Everybody was cleared. I mean, you know, everybody.
Everybody was cleared. What did they get a coat? What did the rich people get the COVID test?
They brought their COVID papers with them.
Everybody was cleared
to Newport.
Ken, everybody was cleared from COVID.
You know, Rhode Island is Rhode Island is opened right up.
No. Hardo Gino wants you out.
No, mm-hmm. I walked right into Gurney's. There's people outside enjoying life. I mean, it's right there in front
of Massachusetts.
You.
We close businesses and open up riots.
No, seriously, Friday. I drove to Wollaston Beach, and I got takeout from one of the clam boxes down there. I brought one of the kiddos to play on the beach for a while. And three different times, I stopped and looked around because I felt like I was doing something wrong.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I just literally drive to a beach. I parked. I bought lobster rolls and clams. And for some reason, I felt like I was breaking the law. Why? Like, I shouldn't feel bad about just, like, being outdoors and then
getting curbside. Well, no, but I don't understand. I mean, the beach thing is, to me, is the most ridiculous thing in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Like, why can't you swim at a beach right now?
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
We went ankles deep. It's so stupid. Like, but the toddler's up to his knees. Uh-oh.
Yank him out. Yank him out of there. I know. We're up against a break. Real quick. Chris, what's up?
Mask you a question.
Yes.
Just kidding.
Oh.
I see what you did there, buddy. Happy Monday.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Greg Hill Show
on Sports Radio WEEI.
When you see neighbors not practicing social distancing or gathering in groups of 10 or more, it's time to call Quarantine 311. Breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law,
breaking the law, breaking the law. Coming up in just a little bit, why isn't Tom Brady solving our nation's racism issue? We'll get to that, but before that, Quarantine 311, and I'm assuming a lot of calls made over the weekend, Curtis, because it was nice out, and neighbors are narking out neighbors. Where do you want to start this morning?
We're going to start at City Hall Plaza with a message to the mayor late last night. I believe this was at 1:15 in the morning. I, Marty, shut this S down. No social distancing with these rioters. We need curfews and checkpoints enforced the whole nine yards. If you do nothing, in 2 weeks, this GD virus will be out of control.
Yep.
Well, I mean, there is a curfew. I mean, the curfew is still in place, 9 p.m.
That's for takeout.
Oh, that's only for takeout?
Yeah, just takeout.
Okay, just for takeout food.
That's it.
Okay, all right.
Good.
All right.
Doesn't apply.
Those were about 100 of those in a row, but we'll get to from earlier in the weekend. We go to Southie. Do these people not get what social distancing means? They congregate 8 to 10 people, not wearing masks, force all other residents to the street as they clutter the sidewalks with bikes, scooters, kids' toys, and pools.
Oh, not kids' toys on the sidewalk so people can't socially distance themselves?
Correct.
That's a real problem.
I have to walk in street in fear as I fear they are a breeding ground of coronavirus.
A breeding ground.
It's possible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to go to another note from Southie. This is for you, Danielle.
Okay.
Beautiful Latino guy, about 5'2", strutting around looking sexy. He's going to cause an accident in those brown spandex.
Stop it. This is amazing. Oh, my God. It's like the old Craigslist missed connections, only it's in 311 now.
We're going to go to Dorchester. Is there any way to get the owners of 172 Fairmont Street to cut the overgrown grass and weeds? In addition to being unsightly, it attracts mosquitoes, which carry malaria.
Property shaming. Property shaming via 311, also COVID.
We're going to go to Stanhope Street.
Ooh.
Fireworks, please help stop them. They've been going off this whole week, and it's scaring the crap out of my anxiety-riddled dog.
Yeah.
Called 911 at 8:30, still going.
So now our dogs have anxiety also?
Yes.
Is that a big issue, Danielle?
It's a huge issue.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of a commentary on our leadership. So Marty Walsh and Charlie Baker are letting people protest in the city, but they won't let the seniors graduating high school receive their diplomas like all the graduates that came before them.
Huh.
Shake my head.
Huh.
Maybe they should tell the protesters to have a virtual protest. It's time for BPS and parents to speak up against the double standard. Back to Dorchester. 8 to 10 drunk teenagers yelling and urinating in the schoolyard at the Kenny School. Last time I checked, we are under a lockdown and curfew is still in play. And the drinking age is 21.
Mm-hmm. But this is where kids, this is where people go now. They have reunions in parking lots and
it's
they just
summertime.
Bang out Bud Lights.
I mean, let them have some fun.
Have a couple of lattes in the parking lot. So what?
It's summertime.
So what? Oh, we're going to head to our neighbors in Alston. Someone dumped their dirty, filthy, and stinky old mattress in front of our house Thursday night.
Oh.
Saturday morning, the garbage truck refused to pick it up.
Really?
Luckily, their supervisor was there. I spoke with him, and he told me they will not pick it up until it's in a wrap, which they sell at Home Depot. I then went to Home Depot. Guess what? They didn't have it. Help. I am a frustrated and pissed off homeowner at the individual who committed this act.
You're going to get a COVID?
Yeah, you're going to get a COVID from that mattress. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, to Brighton we go. Fire in a fire pit in a very overgrown backyard.
Hmm.
People enjoying this without social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe they have an outside water source, a fire waiting to happen.
Yep. Also COVID.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
But I was told that the fire pit puts out the COVID.
Lots of complaints about grilling and partying. This is in Southie. Partying on the third floor porch using vulgar language and not even attempting to fake socially distancing.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike these trust fund losers, I have to work 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Plus, I have children.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that one hits home, Curtis, when it comes to being a trust fund loser, doesn't it?
Man, that's like...
You almost didn't read that one. Triggering.
I have a bumper sticker that says that. West Roxbury, 50% of all dogs off leash. While I realize the mayor will do nothing with unmasked folks, he can do something about the great number of unleashed dogs. I have never seen it so bad. What was so disturbing is the number of dogs that ran right up to me and jumped on me.
Uh-huh.
I am a dog lover. Don't get me wrong. I had dogs, but this is out of control. Mr. Mayor, you can do something about this. This is not safe for young children, moms and dads, and our seniors that are already vulnerable because of COVID-19.
People are writing a novel now on 311. How do they have the time?
Because they want it to be seen.
Is that what it is?
But don't they reach like a character limit on the text? Maybe that's what they should do, Curtis.
They should have a character limit.
A character limit.
All right, we're just going to end here with a South Boston. In the rear second floor deck, they have an open flame going. Don't know how this is okay, but after Columbia Road, I hope they have an extinguisher ready because there was a fire on Columbia Road over the weekend.
Oh, boy.
The barn's on fire.
And that's 311.
Yeah. I think people have pretty much given up on the following the protocol.
Yeah,
at this point,
they've had.
Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes, agree.
I heard there's some unrest coming when it comes to opening up businesses in the North End.
Ooh.
Really?
A source told me that they may go rogue over
really?
There. Yes.
Now, if I'm allowed to have people outside, al fresco, mm-hmm. a little patio dining, mm-hmm. what if I have four tables or like six I could fit in outside? But usually those tables, Greg, are a lot of two and four toppers, and they're pretty like there's not a lot of there's proximity issues.
Why don't they just
have
announce
two now?
I don't understand. Why don't they announce today that they're shutting Hanover Street down
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and that every restaurant in the North End can have their own outdoor space on Hanover Street? I mean, it's a
with a $6,000 permit per day.
No, just do it until such time as you can open up your restaurant. I mean, those places only have some of them only have 40 seats or mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they? I mean, Hanover Street doesn't need to be open. It's a pain in the ass to drive down anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They should just do it immediately. And they could do that all over the city. Never mind the bike lanes. I like the bike lanes. That's great.
No,
the walking lanes.
Top three, bike lane, max lane.
Pick a couple.
That's mask lane.
Pick a pick a couple streets in every neighborhood and shut them down completely.
Like Portland
and
has.
Put outside dining there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nick Verano was on with OMF on Friday, and he talked to, Lou asked him about that, and he definitely said that that was a distinct possibility. So hopefully that happens.
Yeah. I think Damien is going to come on the show tomorrow. He's not feeling happy these days, our friend Damien DePaula. All right. We are going to take a break, and we'll get to why Tom Brady hasn't solved our nation's biggest crisis. Not COVID, the racism thing. We'll get to that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.